Now for our second feature. Robert Morgan, Norfolk Wildlife Trust Reserves Officer, tells us all about gulls. His article is read by Stephen Bumfrey.
I recall a novelty baseball cap in the 1980s that had fake bird droppings running down it with "Damn Gulls" emblazoned on the front. For seagulls, or just gulls, as it's preferred by ornithologists nowadays, are considered rather brash, noisy seaside birds that will pinch your chips the minute your head is turned. They'll engage in undignified squabbles over a discarded saveloy, with one always managing to greedily wolf it down whole. As tawdry and brazen as the end of Pier Casino, they sit atop the games arcade or circle around the crazy golf courses, screaming their mocking cry. Hanging by an invisible thread, they glide above the promenade, searching continuously for an opportunity to pounce on anything vaguely edible. And I'm sure that most of us would forego the luck afforded from the splattering of a damn gull. Despite all these misgivings, they are as seaside as Kiss Me Quick hats or a stick of rock. And I, for one, would miss them terribly if they were gone. Gulls are adaptable, intelligent, insightful creatures. But with the natural world shrinking around them, like the urban fox, they have had to learn to take advantage of humanity's wastefulness. A trip to a busy seaside town, or less inviting any landfill site, would suggest that they are successful at this and, as a result, more numerous. But in reality, gulls are struggling, and with their natural food sources increasingly scarce, they rely more heavily on our waste. Along our natural coastline, they are less obvious, and breeding bird surveys indicate a decline, probably not helped by the occurrences of avian flu. The once abundant herring gull has now joined the kittiwake, a non-scavenging species that relies on small fish, on the UK's conservation status red list. This highest category of concern means that it has declined over 50% over the past 25 years. Worryingly, 9 other species of British gull are waiting in the wings on the amber list. Gulls have never really been birds of the open sea, but more the coast. In fact, the black-headed gull is mostly found inland on marshes and farmland. Long before the building of seaside towns, gulls would have patrolled the far-reaching shoreline. Studying every inch, they would remember the best rock pool for crabs after a high tide. Any alteration in the movements and habits of life along the coast was noted, and news of a seal's carcass on the strand line would carry for miles. The larger gull species can live for over 25 years, and this allows them to build up an extensive memory. Their eyesight is as good as any hawk, and they command an astonishingly keen sense of smell, detecting airborne odours over great distances. It is the burden of the industrialised fishing industry along our coast that has made natural food scarce for gulls, and with nesting colonies on beaches and cliffs suffering growing human disturbances, many species of gull have had to change their habits. Now, this has resulted in gulls tending to concentrate around our large seaside towns, and increasingly they are moving quite far inland, even nesting on tall buildings in our city centres. With gulls wandering deep into the heart of the English countryside, the moment a farmer sinks a plough into the ground, it's followed by a frantic cloud of gulls, ready to swoop on any creature churned out of the soil. 2,000 years ago, their ancestors would have been following the now extinct North Atlantic grey whales that frequented our shallow coastal waters and estuaries, searching no doubt in the wake of their flukes for herring, a species also nearly exhausted by human appetite. And a dead whale would have been such a bonanza it would have drawn in hundreds of gulls to feed upon it, much like the tons of waste food that is dumped at landfill sites. Gulls are an important part of our country's wild heritage, but unfortunately they are often overlooked or seen as pests, and even bird watchers tend to ignore them. In Norfolk, we have, give or take, 10 regular species of gull, and each has its own niche. One of the most familiar is the black-headed gull. Its hood is actually a chocolate colour and is only worn for a few months in spring and early summer. Surprisingly, this numerous and ambiguous gull nearly became extinct in Britain. As a ground-nesting bird of marshlands, its colonies provided gull's eggs as a delicacy for London's restaurants. The common, lesser black-headed and herring gull are often found loitering in parks and on playing fields in winter, accompanied by their mottled brown juveniles. Once you get your gull's eye in, there are other rarer ones to look for. In spring and autumn, you may be lucky to find a migrant gull passing through, such as the Little Gull, or in winter, the Norfolk coast can hold glaciers and Icelandic gulls from the far frozen north. Gulls have a poor reputation because they seem to cock a snook at us. Their presence at the dump reminds us of our wastefulness, and they won't be quiet. And why should they? With the planet becoming more increasingly difficult a place for wildlife to thrive, they're trying to be nature's survivors. So I'd ask everyone to see gulls in a different light.